Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you here today. It's good to be back with you. I've been away for the last two Sundays, but it's good to be back with you and worshiping with you today. So a special welcome to anyone that may be visiting today, and want to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshments in the kitchen right beside the parlor. And a special welcome to Alba Jalabert Reed, who is our guest musician today. I understand that Alba was here a couple years ago playing violin, and I missed it. So I was very pleased when I found out yesterday that she would be playing again today. So she will be providing special music during the service today. So we welcome her and her mom, Sandra, to the worship service today. You'll note on the inside back cover the calendar for this week, and summer is sort of winding down, or we're beginning to ramp up for fall. There is a memorial service this afternoon in the sanctuary for Roger Landers, which didn't get printed here, he did pass away on August 10th, and we are going to be celebrating his life this afternoon. I'm not going to read the rest of that to you. You can read for yourself. Do want to, though, ask for your help. This is the last Sunday we're going to be here in the parlor for a few months, for the summer at least. And we could use your help in collecting all the hymnals after the service. The cart is outside, and we could stack those, and we'll transition those so that we can use the hymnals this afternoon in the memorial service in the sanctuary. So your help would be greatly appreciated in doing that transition after the service today. We are receiving gifts for victims of Hurricane Harvey. I'd sent an email out this week about that. And our denomination continues to receive those gifts. If you would like to give through our church, that would be part of the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. When we normally receive that offering in the spring, we think of that as the disaster offering. Unfortunately, that is part of what the One Great Hour of Sharing offering is, but this is a special appeal for that. And every dollar that is given for hurricane relief, for Hurricane Harvey, will be used for relief efforts. There's no administrative costs that will be taken off the top of that, which is not always the case with some other organizations. So if you would like to do that, make a gift, write the check payable to the church, clearly mark on it that it's for Hurricane Harvey, and we will run that through our mission monies and get that sent off as soon as possible. Some other announcements. You might have received one of these in the mail, that there's an Aging Right public education series for seniors, their families and caregivers. It's going to be presented by Forestdale Park, which is the new facility that's not completed yet, I don't believe, where McFadden Manor was on Forest Street. And on September 14th, they're offering How to Pay for Assisted Living. And on October 11th, Understanding Memory Loss. And these are free. You do need to register. And the events are going to be held at the Malden Public Library right next door. So there are some flyers. I have this one too. There are some flyers out on the counter in the kitchen if you're interested in that. Some of you, as I said, might have received one in the mail. Also on Saturday, September 30th, the American Baptist Women of Massachusetts will be having their Fall Women's Day from 9 a.m. to 3 in the afternoon at Calvary Baptist in Lowell. And the guest speaker is American Baptist Global Mission Consultant Christy Engel. And so I know I saw a few flyers around with some folks this morning. So any women that are interested in going, Marilyn Glover will be attending. If you need a ride, you can talk with her about this as well. And the theme is Exercising Your Gifts. The flowers that are here in the parlor today are from the funeral of Joan Rustine that was held here yesterday. And so we get to enjoy some beautiful flowers. We will be putting those in the kitchen, and I do invite you to take some home with you. They're not going to do anybody any good sitting here in the church all week. So I invite you to take some flowers home and enjoy them at home this week. I think that's all my announcements. So let's turn in the hymnal to selection number 43 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading verses from Psalm 57 as we prepare our hearts and our minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations.
I will sing of you among the peoples.
For great is your love, reaching to the heavens.
Your faithfulness reaches to the skies.
Be exalted, O God, above the heavens.
Let your glory be over all the earth.
We are here to worship God and to praise Him and sing of His faithfulness. Our opening hymn is Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 44. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Together. Oh God, you are our God, and we thank you for your great faithfulness every day of our lives and for calling us here this day that we may learn about your kingdom. Teach us about gratitude and justice and fairness, and show us how to be your faithful disciples. We ask this in Jesus' name. We now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated.
Job interview on like feelings. They did like pretty well.
Good.
And now I have a second job interview for the same people on Wednesday.
Good. That's a good step. You want an interview and they call back for a second interview. That's positive. Yeah. And your mom Genevieve had surgery on her ankle, I believe it was.
Yeah. A few weeks ago.
3 weeks ago. But she's now in a walking boot, so she's a little more mobile, which is good. That's great. So those are both celebrations. Okay. Anyone else have a request? Mm-hmm. Irene.
My friend Ellen in Miami, she's not very well at all. She's not doing very well, so we need
some prayer. Okay, so I'm going to continue to pray for Eleanor, who's in the nursing home now, yeah. And Mario, who is in assisted. So they're apart. So we want to keep them in prayer. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests that is on your heart. Let's pray together. Loving God, we thank you for the opportunity of coming here to this your house to worship you on this day, oh God. We know that it's a long weekend and some are enjoying time away, and we are thankful for that. Lord, we are on this Labor Day weekend, we are thankful for those who have jobs and those who are satisfied in their jobs. Lord, we know that so many are not satisfied or feel that they are working below their capabilities, or they feel that they are not being compensated enough. And others, Lord, are looking for work and are unemployed. Lord, we just lift up the workforce within our nation today. We pray for Naomi as she is looking for a job, too. And it's good news that she's gone through a job interview and that they called her back for a second one. We just pray, God, that you will be with Naomi. She goes through that interview process, and if that's not the right place, then Lord, we just pray that another door may be opened, that she may continue seeking a position, she may work, she goes to school. Lord, we just thank you that we have the skill and the knowledge that you have given to us to put to use, to be fruitful in our endeavors this day. Lord, we lift up those who are injured and ill today. Pray especially for Betty Hickey as she is recuperating from surgery. We pray for those who are in mourning today, and we lift up especially the families of Joan Christine and Roger Landers and others, oh God, that we know personally, who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Lord, we just pray for your comfort and your peace to be with them in this time of sadness. That they may grab onto hope, the hope that you offer through Jesus Christ of eternal life. And Lord, we just this day lift up all of those who have been affected by Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Louisiana. Because all of us are being impacted through refineries that are being shut down. But Lord, we just pray for those that were directly impacted, that lost homes and jobs and churches and just the devastation that we've been witnessing on TV. That, Lord, we just pray for those families that are still living in shelters and don't know what may be of their community. Lord, we pray for the safety and security within those shelters. We've heard of potential disease. We just pray that it may be a healthy place for them. Lord, we pray for those who have already been first responders, those who will be coming in future weeks, months, and years to work to restore the Gulf Coast. We've witnessed this before, especially with Katrina, but other devastating storms, oh God. And we just pray that it may be a rapid recovery, but a good recovery, oh God, not to go so fast that shortcuts are taken. We just pray that it may be a time for them to reassess their lives and to find what's best for them as all those people. Some may be displaced, some may move because they don't want to live there anymore because of the threat of flooding. Lord, we just pray for those as they rebuild their lives. We pray for our denomination and Church World Service, the American Red Cross, and all the other organizations that are reaching out to work with the individuals, the organizations, with the churches in the area that are serving as beacons of light in a time of darkness, a time of hopelessness, that they are offering some hope. We pray, oh God, that we, if in some way, in a tangible way, or through our prayers, that we may continue to lift them up today as well. Lord, we lift all these things to you now in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is the first Sunday of the month, and on that Sunday, we celebrate the Lord's Supper together as part of our worship service. And we also receive two different offerings during the service. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering. It goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. So this time, the ushers receive your tithes and your gifts. Thank you. together. Lord, we present these tithes and gifts to you, the fruits of our labor, and just ask that you would bless them and bless us as we share the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Scripture comes in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And I'm not going to give you necessarily the prelude to this because I'm going to include that set ramp up in my sermon this morning, but it is a parable that Jesus is telling to his disciples. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. When he went out again about noon and about 3 o'clock, he did the same. And about 5 o'clock, he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, 'Why are you standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, 'Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first.' When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, 'These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat?' But he replied to one of them, 'Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" This ends the reading of God's holy word for this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, as we listen to Jesus telling that parable, we say, unfair, unjust. It doesn't measure up to our human standards. But Lord, we realize that Jesus is trying to show us that you have a different way of measuring fairness, and that you, in your sovereignty, have the right to do anything with all of your creation and all that belongs to you. Lord, on this day, Labor Day weekend, we pray that as we think about our work and what it means to us and to others and what it means to our spiritual lives as well, we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that might help us in our daily living. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. I owe, and off to work I go. That sentiment may be on the minds of many people who will be stuck in rush hour traffic on their way to work Tuesday morning. And it seems to resonate with the majority of American workers. For many, work is a drudgery that they must endure rather than a vocation one can embrace. Now, Naomi doesn't feel that way yet. Naomi's just anxious to have a job. She hasn't been in the job market very long, or at all. According to a 2016 survey, just 49.6%, less than half, of Americans are satisfied with their jobs, which is actually the highest that number has been since 2005. In an age when job hunting is highly competitive, just landing one is a big deal. According to the numbers, it seems that liking the job we land is icing on the cake. So what's the biggest dissatisfaction about going to work? According to another recent survey, it's not about the money. In fact, wages appear well down the list of things that employees tend to gripe about. What really makes the workday dissatisfying for many is the fact that their employers don't listen to them. They don't really know them, and they don't take their input seriously. Employees don't feel like they're invested in the company's mission, and there's no sense of mutual benefit for employers and employees in determining goals and outcomes. In other words, employees don't feel as though they're part of a team. They're only worker bees who do what's required of them. It's the kind of thing that makes an employee feel like an interchangeable part in a machine, feeling that they are what they produce, and that's the only importance they are to the company. And then there's the relative value of the one employee to another. As job markets get tighter and tighter and competition for jobs increases, it's easy for workers to look around to the other work areas and compare themselves to their co-workers. And you may find yourself doing that as well. The recent graduate occupying the next space might be making as much as you are, even though you've had much more experience. Or that worker may have the boss's ear in some way that you never could. All of this does not seem fair at all. And maybe that's what all this dissatisfaction is really about. We want what's coming to us, or at least what we perceive that we are owed for our work in terms of influence, value, and compensation. Perhaps it's because that for us Americans is all about fairness, what's right, being fair. We want to be valued in a fair, what we might even say, a just way, equal to the standards applied to all co-workers. And we especially want those who write our reviews and sign our checks to appreciate us fairly. A disgruntled worker reading the parable of today's gospel might likely see it as the typical way that the system works. We grind out a full day's work, and some Johnny-come-lately gets the same wage as we do for a fraction of the work. To read the parable that way, however, betrays some of the bias we have about ourselves and our relative worth in comparison to others. What Jesus is trying to teach us, however, is that real value is not determined by things like one's resume or one's paycheck or one's seniority on the job. In a theocratic economy, real value is not found by climbing to the top of the corporate ladder, but by holding the ladder for others to climb it. The context of this parable that I read this morning takes us back to chapter 19 of Matthew. For beginning in verses 16 to 22 of chapter 19 of Matthew, a rich young man comes to Jesus seeking assurance of eternal life. "Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" he asks. He's been a good boy, obeying all the commandments, and this alone should shoot him right to the top of God's list of favorites. That's what he thinks. But Jesus crushes his sense of self-worth when he challenges the young man to be perfect by selling his possessions, giving the money to the poor, and only then following Jesus. It's an invitation to downward mobility. Ironically, it's often within that downward mobility that the true satisfaction and worth are found. Jesus turns to his disciples after this encounter and gives them a lesson that it's difficult for the rich, the wealthy, to inherit and to enter the kingdom because their worth is bound up in their possessions. A person might have a perfect spiritual resume, but until they are willing to be generous towards others, both physically and spiritually, then they will be outside the kingdom of heaven, Jesus tells his disciples. And this troubles the disciples, who, like many people of their day, believed that wealth was a sign or an indication of God's blessing on them. Peter then pipes up with the obvious question, which he often does in the Gospels, that Peter's the spokesperson. He's sort of like he speaks the mind of the disciples. And he says, "Well, Lord, we've left everything and followed you. We gave up maybe successful professions and followed you. We gave all that up. What then will we have?" And Jesus assures him and the others that their dispossession of family, of job, of wealth, and status will not go unrewarded. In order to be first in God's world, you have to be willing to be last, Jesus tells them, which is totally opposite of what society teaches. Taught then and teaches today. To illustrate this point, Jesus tells the parable, which was today's scripture, about the laborers in the vineyard. The harvest is ready, and the landowner, serving as his own HR department, comes to the marketplace to do some hiring. He starts with the early birds, who are likely to be the most eager workers and who probably have a good reputation for getting things done. Or they really need the money, but they want a job. They're looking. They're hungry. So they agree on a wage, and he sends them into the vineyard to work. Still more workers are needed. So the boss returns to the manpower office at 9 a.m., and again at noon, and again at 3 p.m., and still again at 5 in the evening, and usually work stopped at 6. This last lot seems to have been a day late and a dollar short, almost, given that they had not been hired after standing around idle all day. Probably not a very good worker, might be our judge. The assumption that Jesus' hearers would have, as we would, that these laborers would each be paid commensurate with the hours that they worked. That's what we expect, hourly wage. After all, that's what's fair. Laborers were usually paid at the end of each day. So when the time came for the denarii, which was a coin, which was the value of a day's work, was to be distributed, the landowner calls the manager of the vineyard and tells him to start settling the payroll with the last group hired. The shocking tale of the pay stub, however, is that they received a huge check for just 1 hour work. Hey, it pays to loll around all day and be idle because, hey, I can get a whole day's paycheck for doing very little work. We can imagine the murmur going through the line as they were lined up waiting to get their pay. If these ne'er-do-wells who were lucky to get hired at all got this very generous amount for an hour of work, imagine what they would be getting for working 3 hours or 6 hours or 9 hours or even all day. Yet, as the other workers approach the paymaster, they hear disturbing news. Everyone, regardless of the hours worked, is getting the same amount. That's totally not fair by our measurements, by human standards. So we can empathize with those early birds, that group who, having heard what the others were getting, expected to be paid more since they provided more relative value than the others. So what do they do? And what would we do? We would probably lodge a complaint. And they did that as well. They filed their grievance with HR seeking redress. And they saw their labor as being worth more than anyone else's, especially those who showed up last. But the landowner who hired them reminds them that they were getting exactly what they agreed to first thing in the morning. It's the employer's prerogative to give whatever wages he wants to the others. Quote, Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me, he asks. Or are you envious because I'm generous? Thus says Jesus, the last will be first, and the first will be last. According to New Testament scholar Craig Keener, Jewish teachers used a similar parable to describe the day of God's judgment. But they used it to make precisely the opposite point that Jesus was making. They taught that Jesus, Israel, who had worked hard and been faithful for the long haul, would receive high wages, while the Gentiles, the non-Jews, who had come in much later into the faith, would receive very little. But like the rich young man, many Jews believed that their spiritual resumes should give them priority status and a little extra for their faithful labor over time. But Jesus reveals that God's economy does not work that way. God chooses to be generous and to extend the same grace to the least and to the last as God does to those who think they've earned it. In fact, in the next few verses, Jesus reveals just how far he will go to identify with the least and the last, giving himself over to both the pious Jewish leaders and the cruel Gentiles to die for both of them. The point of all of this is that following Jesus is to join on the path toward downward mobility, not upward, but downward mobility. It means giving up our resumes, spiritual and otherwise, and recognizing our own insufficiency and our need for grace. It means laying aside our ambition for wealth and power, and embracing a life of generosity, finding our satisfaction not in the wealth of our possessions, but in the fewness of our wants, that our needs are being met. And it means understanding that our ultimate worth is not found in titles and power, but in service to others. That's what Jesus taught throughout his ministry. If we're really working for Jesus, then followers of Christ should be among the most satisfied of workers, no matter what our earthly profession at which we toil on a daily basis. If our daily jobs, if we view those as truly part of ministry and part of working for God, then it should be very satisfying. Whether we're digging ditches or leading a Fortune 500 company, our ultimate satisfaction is found in giving our lives away in the service of others. For imagine, what if we saw our jobs not as something to be endured, but as part of our vocation as followers of Jesus. What if we spent every day not comparing ourselves to others, but doing everything in our power to lift those others up? Not comparing them and trying to squash them, but trying to lift them up so that they can do the best that they can do as well. Jesus calls us to be part of a team that always needs our input, the team that needs our investment and our very best, all for the glory of the reign of God. Joining that team, no matter what our earthly profession, is the key to 100% satisfaction. Many of you are retired. Some of you are still in the workforce. And we have a variety of vocations represented here today. And you know, on this Labor Day weekend, you know, how do we view the labor that we do? Is it to serve Jesus Christ? That's what Jesus is saying here, that we all need to be looking for ways of reaching out and not just talking about Christ, but all that we do should be reflective and be honoring God in our daily lives. Let's pray together this morning. Lord, as we have heard Jesus' parable this day and we think it's so unfair, that's by our human standards. And Lord, we know that you have a much, much different measuring stick. And Lord, we just pray that we may step back from our judgmental attitudes at times. We may not be comparing ourselves to others, but we may be looking around to helping support and lift others up, that they too may accomplish all that they're able to do, that all may be profitable in material sense, but also all that may be profitable in praising you for the skills and the knowledge that our workers have. Lord, we are grateful for the abilities that we have to use our minds and our bodies and our labor. We thank you for the minds that we've had to have been trained and the skills that you have given to us. And we pray, oh God, that we may change our attitude as we return to work on Tuesday, if we have tomorrow off, that we may have the attitude that, what am I getting out of this? To change that to, what can I give into this? What can I add? What can I, not so I can climb the ladder, but that's how I can help others climb that ladder. Lord, you call us to be active in our lives, to be of service to you wherever we are. And we pray that your Spirit will continue to remind us, encourage us, and empower us. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is "There is a Wideness in God's Mercy," number 81. Seated.
previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we received two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts for this communion offering.
Ascended to heaven and preparing a place for you for all eternity so that you and God may be together. And if we aren't say, yes, Lord, I believe, then Jesus says, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements today, for Jesus invites all believers to this communion table today. Let's pray together. Lord, we come today knowing that we have not earned a seat here, that there's nothing in that's so good about us there's a seat guaranteed here for us. It is only through your grace and your mercy. And Lord, we know that we have done things that have been displeasing to you, that have gone against your will. And in silence now, Lord, we confess to you those sins, those mistakes, those errors that we are aware of, and we confess them to you now in silence, and we ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions, and we do pray that you would forgive us of our sins. Cleanse our hearts.
purify us and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As Jesus was coming very rapidly to the end of his life here on earth, he celebrated a meal with his disciples in the upper room, but ultimately became this last meal on earth. And it was a Passover meal, a Seder, celebrating the, observing the deliverance of the Jewish people, the Israelites, from slavery in Egypt. And part of that meal was bread. And Jesus took the bread from the table and gave thanks to God for the bread. And after doing so, he began breaking it. And he began telling his disciples some new understanding. This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. They didn't fully understand what Jesus was talking about, but I'm sure they were listening very intently because it was something new. And so Jesus was putting new meaning to this bread. Meal that they were celebrating and celebrated for years. But he's saying, this bread, now broken, represents my body that's going to be broken. So we share with you the broken bread, representing Christ's broken body, ministering in his name. Broken bread, representing Christ's broken body. Broken so that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As the meal in that upper room continued, Jesus took the cup, again gave thanks to God for the cup, and said, this cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. Thank you. the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in memory of him. Lord Jesus, it seems so unfair that you had to allow your body to be broken and your blood to be shed as a means for our salvation. But Lord, we know that there are so many things in our world that we don't recognize when we see them. We don't see you working in our lives, and that you had to pay the ultimate sacrifice for us. Lord, help us to look beyond our measurement of life and to continually seek your Spirit's guidance in our lives, that in all that we do, we may seek to serve you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and then went out that night. Our closing hymn this morning is Send Forth by God's Blessing, number 782. Until our lives shall end, and life until our work is done. Amen.
May the Lord go with you. Let him take your hand. Keep his soul.